I'm gonna get close and then I'm gonna get way back here.
I'm gonna do John's silent laugh.
That's pretty good. I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Archive,
our ever-growing library of everything. 1 hour at a time.
Okay.
They talked about
Stephen King, which they missed a lot and got a lot of flack for.
I haven't read a lot of Stephen King, and the one Stephen King book I read, I quit reading.
Is that are you being Drew now, or are you?
No, I'm being Ashley right now.
Nice. Okay.
But I don't think Drew read a lot of Stephen King either.
After his parents were like, you shouldn't even bother, right? Like, and he's still apparently getting like reading and viewing advice from his parents.
What else did they talk about?
We should probably remember this better. We'd be better girlfriends and wives if we. Oh, we're cheating. We're getting out the phone.
I'm going to look it up.
Blogging was this last one, right?
Oh, blogging. That's right.
The most recent one.
So, Drew blogged a lot.
Which I guess they're sort of experts at. I mean, you know, anybody can be a blogger.
They do a lot of web programming for their blogs.
They think they're experts.
Barbecues.
And...
Oh, they did. I remember barbecues. I had a lot of issues with the barbecue episode.
They're not looking at us, are they?
Well, Drew considers a barbecue a party. I guess John agrees in that he doesn't consider barbecue a barbecue if you don't smoke the meat.
I totally disagreed with that statement.
I disagree.
I almost commented about it. And there's a he said there doesn't have to be like meat involved.
Well,
or a barbecue.
I think the biggest thing that
but generally
I didn't agree with is Drew said that Missourians don't grill beef. They don't barbecue beef.
I'm wrong.
He said that we only barbecue beef.
Oh, okay.
Not and everyone else barbecues pork.
I do think maybe we should revisit some of the like actual stats. Like
Well, I did.
Oh, you did.
I have a habit of Googling and
while you're
checking their facts.
The
because in my experience, we always did pork steaks or pulled pork.
Pork
or
steaks. We had a
ribs
lot of
are made
steaks.
Out of pork, not beef, usually.
Although I guess you could have beef ribs. What are beef tips? Are those the same thing? Are those? We're going to have our own little mini podcast on barbecuing here.
Short ribs.
Are those beef or are those pork?
I think pork.
Who knows? Okay, moving on. We should check our own facts. Coffee. Yes. I didn't have as much. Oh, let's go back to barbecue for a second because there, I did not realize, like, John revealed this whole, like, socially awkward, like, thing he has with barbecues that I never.
Oh, he doesn't like them.
Knew existed. Yeah, he feels
I think it's
weird about
it. It's kind of the same as his feelings on camping.
See, but I knew all about the camping. That's a well-known dislike of his.
Basically, if he's outdoors and there's no technology, it's time for a nap.
Well, even if there is technology, the outdoors and John don't agree usually. I think he gets that from his parents, but that's maybe another podcast. So we'll come back to that.
Next
what
on
else?
The
coffee.
Hang-ups we got from our parents.
Yeah, right.
So coffee, I didn't have any issues with the coffee, though I did comment on the blog about the French press.
I would like to know if Drew went back and listened to the to Josh and Chuck. You know who I'm talking about. Josh and Chuck talk about on how stuff works, the stuff you should know.
Oh.
Do you guys listen to that?
No.
I thought Drew may have listened to that in the past. He may have gotten away from it, but I think he needs to revisit some expert podcasters.
On coffee?
I'm just saying, on coffee specifically. Anyway.
Part-time jobs, part two. was part one, I think, part of this addendum.
I don't know if that was part of this one.
Yes, it was part one, and then part two came right after part one.
Oh, that's, I'm not remembering very well. Yeah, that was interesting to learn a lot about Fritz's.
A lot about Fritz's.
Little Dirty, was that his nickname?
I think so, yeah.
I got a big kick out of that,
actually. Fritz's was a very formative experience for Drew.
I think that's where he gained some confidence, being the big man on campus there after a while.
Yeah.
He's nodding in agreement. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else? Let's see. How many is that?
Living Legends, movie directors.
Movie directors, okay.
O'Toole. Is that it? Star Trek conventions? Oh, that was a half episode because something happened to Drew.
That was...
What was wrong with... Drew was sick. That's right. Drew was sick.
Drew was lazy. Couldn't get off his butt. Come over 10 minutes.
It was just a stomach ache.
That's all. What didn't he end up in the ER that night, though?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll cut him a little slack.
It was an ordeal. And mm-hmm. he came out with a perfect bill of health.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked himself out of feeling sick.
So really it was just hypochondria?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, so we're not cutting him any slack after all.
No. Stephen King.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, I only read Insomnia,
and
I didn't like it. So I couldn't relate to that episode.
I haven't actually read that one. But there were several that I read. Like Cujo, I read way too young, probably.
No.
That was my first Stephen King. Anyway, this is not about us. This is not the Deanna and Ashley show, sadly. So we're getting comfortable with this. Maybe we should.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little hard to addendum a show that's about their personal experiences.
Yeah, it really is.
We had a lot to say about barbecue, though.
We should come back to that sometime. Okay.
We should definitely come back to that. Extreme sports, was that?
I guess we'll keep going
till I hit addendums again.
I have, like, nothing to add to extreme sports, really.
It's a boy thing.
Yeah. I guess I've done some extreme sports, but have these guys really?
Drew attempted to drive his bike up a ramp.
Oh, like a skating ramp?
No, like a ramp they built on their block, right? I'm right, I think.
Like four bikes?
No, you know what it was? His friends built the ramp to jump their bikes, but he was too afraid to do it.
Oh.
And I think his friend broke his arm or something doing it.
Ooh. Maybe that's why he didn't want to do it. I could see that. Anyway, I don't know if they're very knowledgeable, personally. Is that the one they talked about, BMX bikes, or was that a whole effort?
They talked about Tony Hawk's, the X Games.
Oh, okay.
Rollerblades, snowboarding, skiing.
Why did you choose that topic, of all things, to talk about?
Was it because they watch BMX Bandits?
Maybe.
Space travel? This is
a
topic that Drew loves.
And also John.
Yes.
True nerds that they are.
It's amazing that there isn't a space travel part two.
Mm.
I think we just gave him an idea. Yet. There is not a space travel two
yet. The Peanut Gallery speaks.
There's currently a solar powered plane in town that Drew could have made an appointment to see tomorrow.
You know, I actually looked into that a little bit, and they were already sold out, like the appointments for earlier in the week.
Mm.
Sorry, John.
John's devastated.
I know.
Comic books. Again, Drew loves comic books.
Yeah, I'm sure there could be part 3, 4, 5 of that one. Maybe just one whole episode about John talking about working at the comic book store.
Yeah.
And then
Drew draws comics. Did you talk about the comics that you draw?
I don't know that he did.
He did not.
Addendum.
Drew is an aspiring comic artist. BMX Bandits.
So that's a whole separate.
That was a whole episode.
They decided not to roll that into extreme sports, even though.
That was part of their 80s movie.
Okay, right.
Theme. I've never watched the movie.
I'm not sure how much of this is getting picked up, but
no. They're just letting us go. Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm. Another one where I feel like there were some gaps in both of their viewing and thus their knowledge of.
I think SNL is very personal, and it depends on when you started watching it. Because I started watching in the mid-90s around Will Ferrell and that group, and then kind of stopped watching right when Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon were on their way out. But these guys were focusing on the original cast mostly.
And their backup podcaster is here, Smokey. Makes an appearance.
Professional wrestling, which is what we were going to be on our way to go do. Or watch.
We're on our way. We just thought we'd do a little podcasting before we go don our luchador capes and masks.
Again, I don't know enough about professional wrestling to addendum it. Mm. Oh, we haven't been doing the addendum sound.
Is that what that is?
When they finish an addendum, they go, "This has been addendum, ka-chunk."
Is that like the stamper? Like what
yeah,
exactly?
Like ka-chunk.
Okay.
Like
I never understood what that sound was supposed to be.
Ka-chunk.
Maybe they're trying to do like a really bad, you know, like the Law and Order, like
oh,
that
dun dun
dong sound that they do.
Yeah.
Like
dun dun.
Moving on.
Getting lots of good sound bites right now.
I would recommend a new sound, maybe a more professional, like purchase a sound on that one.
Ka-ching.
Addendum.
Ka-ching.
Yeah, it's more like a cash register.
Well,
they'll figure it out. They'll get it right.
They need
eventually.
A kazoo.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I'm not going to make a kazoo sound. I don't want to hear it.
And then, but then we'd have to listen to it every time they did.
Ooh.
So.
Was that,
do that what again. About, was that your kazoo?
Ooh.
Or was that Casper?
That was terrible. Or the owl. Hoo-hoo. Drew loves that. Okay. Side projects and concept bands.
Okay.
Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
What is so funny about that?
I think I disagreed that some of these were so-called concept bands. Mm. Like Audioslave, Velvet Revolver, 30 Seconds to Mars. I mean, those are just bands. Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, they have a... Oh, those are side projects. Wu-Tang Clan is a side project?
Of who? Superband.
Wait,
now there's a whole other
category.
Superbands
are not in the title.
Superbands, supergroups. They're just making stuff up
now. This is called the Side Projects and Concept Bands podcast.
Not supergroups. There's no
supergroups
in the title of this podcast.
Whatever else you're saying. You defined it? Well, I listened to that a long time ago, so I don't remember.
Yeah, I guess we can't really. That one I only half listened to, probably.
Movie directors, auteurs.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything to say.
Let's see. They got Crybaby, Pink Flamingos, like John Waters films, which I loved Crybaby. Quentin Tarantino movies. Mm-hmm. Kevin Smith.
In the
Guillermo del Toro, Wes Anderson. Drew hates Wes Anderson.
Oh. He's definitely, and I would definitely say he's an auteur, though. Like a
definitely.
He's a niche to all unto himself.
I just think Drew needs to give him a fair chance.
I agree.
I think he likes the Fox movie. He likes the Fox movie.
The animated one. The Fabulous Mr. Fox.
Yes.
Was that George Clooney?
George Clooney was the Fox.
You know, that's based on is that a Roald Dahl?
Roald Dahl.
How do you really say his name?
Like I thought it was Rolled.
Roll Dahl? Is there a D on the
Dahl? It's D-A-H-L. Dahl. Roll Dahl.
Spanish? What kind of name is that?
I assumed he was English. That would be it. And then
all right.
That was up to addendum.
So, guys, you have some work
to do. It is
a
Roll Dahl book.
Oh, there is a D on the end of the first name. And
Rolled Dahl.
Rowled. We're just going to butcher his name as many ways as we possibly can. And now John's reading.
And so Ashley and Deanna did not fully addendum the addendums, but we have addendumed
ka-chunk.
Ka-chunk. me some dong dong.
I got the notes up too.
I got the notes.
We're recording, aren't we?
We are. Yeah. We're still going.
Here we are.
We're back.
Yeah.
That was a good. That was a good intro. I think that was maybe our best ka-chunk yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I feel like we were really on that in that first segment.
Yeah. Yeah. That might have been our best like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ever.
Yeah.
Good job, you.
And you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks. Let's do it. Let's really get in depth, though, with these addendums.
All right.
Because we only kind of touched on a few things. We
glossed
right?
over the surface. Yeah. Well, there's now we have notes. Things. Before, we were right. just sort of riffing free.
Yeah, doing riffs.
Freestyle.
Yeah.
Freestyle riffing. Now freestyle
we're gonna,
addenduming.
We're going to bring out the sheet music now.
Yeah.
And really. Really hit
yeah.
hard.
I'm going to laugh. I'm going to lean back from the microphone yeah. so nobody can hear me.
Yeah.
And I'm going
to
come back.
I wish really. I had something to eat right now.
Yeah, some Cheez-Its maybe.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right.
All right. So addendums. This is addendums 5.
Yeah.
We're going to start off with the movie directors.
Auteurs.
And you had dropped in a note here. Our longstanding conflict, internal and external, our struggle to work in the ladies.
Speaking of working in the ladies,
yeah,
there's actually one really broad addendum.
Oh yeah. Good call. So this does not apply to the last 15 episodes, but if you'll go back and listen to Awesome Spooky Month,
yeah,
the final episode of Awesome Spooky Month, which. To be fair, we did say at the outset that we were going to write our own original stories and then read them live on the final episode
of
Awesome Spooky Month. Well, I think we talked about it.
I thought you cut it out.
Maybe I did.
Now everyone knows.
But I probably told Kim about it.
Oh.
Anyway, so we made this promise. What happened was the last episode of Awesome Spooky Month, we weren't sure that we could do our stories justice.
Yeah.
So we decided to read scary stories to tell in the dark. And we did it live, and my friend Kim hated it.
Yeah.
Hated it. Yeah. She probably hates that I'm calling her out right now about that. But I mean, she had good grounds for it. One, she had to endure us.
Yeah, but
first of all.
She has to endure us with every episode.
True. But she does. I don't know that she listens to every episode.
Oh, just the ones that you're in.
Just the ones that will elicit a visceral response.
Ah, yeah.
Maybe.
This is one of them.
That was one of them. She hated it. She hated the idea. I think she was upset that we weren't reading our own stories.
All right.
And she was upset that we couldn't make it through a story without laughing, I think was one problem. And she was upset that there were all these people in the room that were laughing and yelling and stuff.
Fair enough.
I
don't think she was alone.
No, I'm pretty sure that episode, if you came into that episode cold, if you didn't know anything about the archive and you landed on that episode, you would probably slit your wrists.
It's probably it's in contention with the mixtape episodes as the least favorite episodes.
Sure.
Right?
Probably. Although I don't have data to back that up. I should look at our analytics.
Is she known for hating episodes of the archive?
She's known for disputing things. This is not a direct quote, but a paraphrase of what Kim told me was that she's frustrated because she wants to comment immediately as she's listening.
She could.
I don't think she feels that her commentary is immediate enough, even if we address it in the addendums. I could be speaking out of sorts here. She may not. That may not be an accurate statement of her feelings. But I think she is frustrated because she cannot immediately. What's that word? Refute our assertions throughout each episode.
Well, I mean, look,
which is fair enough.
I challenge her to comment on this site.
All right.
Or something.
I don't. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Auteurs.
No female directors.
Yeah. We still didn't even work in, and I think we talked about this both in our initial directors episode and then also in this auteurs episode, trying to work in Sofia Coppola, and we didn't, and I feel bad about that. Now my feelings of badness are tempered by the fact that the last few things that Sofia Coppola has done, I haven't really responded to as well as maybe the first things that she did.
I don't know if I've seen any of her movies.
Wow. What's okay. Well, her first movie was The Virgin Suicides.
Didn't see it.
Which I think is a great movie. That's okay. Probably one of my all-time favorite movies.
Wow.
She also did Lost in Translation.
I didn't see that.
Which is a phenomenal movie. Most people would probably argue that that's her best movie. I don't know. It's a toss-up for me between that one and Virgin Suicides. I think both of those are really good. But I think Lost in Translation is more widely relevant. I think people respond to that one a little bit better.
People just like Bill
Murray. People like Bill Murray. But I think people also like the relationship that is like depicted in that movie.
Without having seen that movie, I feel like it's overrated because Bill Murray's in it. I'm just going to say that.
I'm going to let that lie there and let other people comment on it.
Let it sit for just a second. All right.
Okay.
Your refutation is noted.
Yeah. She has also done Marie Antoinette.
Should we have pauses in here for Kim?
For yes, so that she can respond. Yeah. So she did Marie Antoinette, and then she did Somewhere or Someday. I can't remember what the name
seen
of it
any
is.
Of these movies.
I think it's Ethan Hawke.
Oh.
Maybe. But he plays like a. He's a movie star, and he is just sort of like adrift. He doesn't have any like grounding, and he meets somebody who sort of gives him grounding, and then there's not. It's a very fluid movie. I liked that about it. There didn't seem to be like a real plot to it. It was just sort of we're going to meander with these people while they get to know each other, and I appreciated that. But it didn't hit me the way that Virgin Suicides or Lost in Translation did, which are two movies that I would say are probably two of the best movies that I've seen in the last 10 years, 20 years, 15 years.
Even though one's overrated.
Even Ka-chunk, the addendum.
Wait.
Ka-chunk. All right. Next episode was Side Projects and Concept Bands.
Yeah, let's. I mean, we got some feedback on this just a few moments ago. We did, I believe,
we defined,
make clear in that episode that we, in our definition, considered a supergroup to be a form of concept band.
Yes, right.
So whether you agree with that or not is...
So I consider us validated.
Yeah, but I put in, I remembered one after we did it, and then I also discovered a side project after we did it. So you're familiar with the band Newfound Glory.
Yeah.
Pop punk band, got fairly popular in the early 2000s.
Moderately huge, I would say.
They did a side project, I think, in the late 2000s, called International Superheroes of Hardcore,
which I've never heard. I have no idea.
I looked into it a bit, and I didn't really like it, but it's their sort of hardcore punk band. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would challenge that they could be hardcore just because of the Newfound Glory part of the equation. But, you know, check it out for yourself if you're...
I'm curious. I might give it a shot.
And, you know,
I love
metal
screaming.
And
God, I love
like
it.
That. And then the other one that I discovered, like, really soon after is a band, a side project called Mariachi El Bronx. And it's a side project of the band The Bronx. Jesus. Let me take a moment. It is a side project of the band The Bronx. And they're a punk rock band.
Okay.
And I've actually heard about The Bronx several years ago. I'd gotten their first album and it wasn't bad. There's a few really good songs on there. But the thing is, they're a little harder than I usually listen to, so I couldn't really get into it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But this, the Mariachi El Bronx, is so good.
That is good.
It's really good, and like I assumed before actually hearing it that this would be sort of like a punk rock mariachi band,
right?
You know, that you'd have sort of
punk goes mariachi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's straight up mariachi. I mean,
yeah.
I would say the only thing that stops it being traditional mariachi is they aren't singing in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, it's all in English.
They have electric guitars too, don't they?
They might, yeah.
On some of them, yeah. Which
and
I
then,
think is not typically.
And they, I don't think they themselves are Hispanic at all. I don't know. I could be wrong. I actually didn't look into that. But it's great music.
I don't know anything about the Bronx, and I hadn't heard anything about this band until you mentioned it to me. But I do. I agree. I think they're really good.
And they have two albums. And I hope they make a third, because I really love it. Love it.
Love it. Is that good? Wait, it's a superfan. Superfan Diana.
Yeah.
Chimed in.
What'd she say?
Well, she said that we asked for gaps. She asked us to fill in on gaps. One was a fiddle band.
Now,
we talked about fiddle bands, which I've actually refined my my classification now. Right. It's not just fiddle band. Yeah. It's a fiddle indie band. So the proper terminology is Findy.
Ooh, a Findy band.
Findy band.
And she gave us one, right?
She did. The Avett Brothers.
Which I've Avett heard Brothers. Of them. But I've never heard them, or at least I didn't know that I was hearing them.
Yeah, I don't know them by name, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Do they have a song that goes,
hey,
hey,
hey?
Do they have a song like that? They might.
Yeah, and somebody who talks with kind of like a vague. Vaguely northern European northern. Accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what she got here? Actor plus band gap.
Yeah, yeah. She name checks.
Great catch here.
This was great. Steve Martin plays the banjo. Yeah. He has several bluegrass albums,
yep.
Some of which that she believes won Grammy Awards. Yeah. Now, I remember his musical performances from Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I've started going back and rewatching Freaks and Geeks, and in the course of that, the characters actually are listening to one of his albums,
yeah.
And so like the timing on this was really good. But I didn't think of it at all.
If he hasn't won Grammys, I'm almost certain he has at least won like bluegrass awards.
That's fascinating
from the industry itself, yeah. You know. Like,
he's also a writer. He's a polymath. Yeah. He's a published novelist.
Super addendum.
This is a bonus addendum.
Well, this is like
this goes back way back to the first like addendums, I think.
Ultra addendum second. Moment. Yeah, this is like a double addendum.
Addendum
bonus.
Maximus. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Double.
So not only is he a side band.
It's double addendumity.
Kim's gonna hate that.
Wait, what's it? Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Kim.
All right. Are we ready to ka-chunk
that?
Yeah,
let's
ka-chunk it. Oh, man. This one.
We're back.
Next episode. Yeah. We're back, brother.
Brother.
Oh, yeah.
So this is sort of an addendum to that. But like a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was in an email exchange with Ashley. Mm-hmm. And at one point, her response was something like, brother, you know it. I couldn't help.
And you heard Hulk Hogan,
brother,
didn't you?
You know it.
You know it, brother. Mean Gene.
We got some stuff. We got some notes.
So Deanna pointed out, I had asserted, I think, that the World Wrestling Federation had laid claim to the acronym WWF first. Is that an acronym? They had claimed to that first, and that's not actually true. The World Wildlife Fund was established in 1961. The World Wrestling Federation was not established until 1979.
But here's the real question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know there's more to this, but whether or not the World Wildlife Fund was established before the World Wrestling Federation, who used the acronym first?
Good question.
That's the real question.
That is a very good question. And I would argue that it was the WWF.
You know it, brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
That may be wrong, but I'm going to go with it.
She goes on to say that the World Wildlife Fund is now known as the Worldwide Fund for Nature.
Right. So they win the rights
to
the WWF acronym, and then they totally like, well, you know what? We don't need it anyway. We're going to add another letter to our name.
Is it just me, or is WWE like incredibly lame compared to WWF?
It is. WWE, it sounds
soft.
It does sound soft. WWF. First of all, Federation.
Yeah,
how
federation.
Often do you hear the Federation? I mean, that's a hell of a term
to
bust out.
Well, if you're a Star Trek fan, you hear it a lot.
But what if you're not? What yeah. if you're a wrestling fan?
Then you hear you, used
you
to
hear a lot. Here's what all of the other wrestling things they were like alliances,
yeah,
or you know, or they were just like such and such wrestling,
yeah,
like blank blank wrestling,
yeah,
federation.
What is federated in that organization? What exactly is federated?
You know, I guess it was the idea that they were taking a lot of disparate groups and forming a federation.
Sure.
It could have been a republic. It could have been the WWR.
Yeah.
Except that it really wasn't a republic because nobody had voting rights.
WWR would have been better than
it
WWE.
It was all Vince McMahon's.
They should have gone with republic after they lost Federation.
When they lost Federation.
They should have. That could have been a whole
storyline. That would have been a
line.
Great storyline. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe that'll still happen. I mean, there's another election coming up in a couple of years. So, and they like
an
to.
Election?
Yeah, you know, a presidential election.
Oh, okay.
And they like to be timely. They like have their storylines coincide with whatever's going on in the mainstream.
Yeah, so maybe they could
so
do
I
that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I like it.
I don't know. Just leave it out there.
All right. Okay. I think this is your note.
No, that's you.
Did I write that?
I think so. I didn't write it.
This is a term that that I remembered, I guess.
Yeah.
That a friend of mine would use all the time because it's, I believe The Rock used it, yeah?
Yeah, I think he started it.
He would refer to people as jabroni.
Now, so what that is a play on the term jobber, I believe. A jobber is somebody who doesn't really have a well-defined personality. They are, they're just a foil for the actual superstars. So back, they don't do this as much anymore, but in the 80s, what you would have your major shows, like your WrestleMania, your Royal Rumble, the pay-per-views, and then you would have like your Saturday night's main event, and those were all superstar-centric wrestling events. So that was where you had like the top names battling each other.
Right.
But on the sort of primetime or Sunday morning shows, where the ratings weren't as high, they would have the superstars go up against what was called a jobber. Uh-huh. And that was somebody who literally looks like he just walked off the docks, took his clothes off, and got into the ring. And he would go out there and he would grapple with the main guy, the name value, for a little bit, and then he would eventually get beat. Like, you never saw a jobber win a match.
That would be a great storyline now, though.
Oh, yeah. Like the golden jobber.
Yeah. Like some unknown becomes the king.
Yeah. They may have done something like that. I don't know. But so that was, that's where that, I believe, came from. That was him, The Rock, sort of riffing on somebody. So that was like a put down. He would be like, listen to me, jabroni.
Yeah.
It would be like, you know, you are nothing to me. You are like one of those guys that shows up on Sunday morning wrestling and loses to people.
I like the idea that he would have said that every time.
Yeah.
That whole statement.
He did. He would always. Oh, yeah. You are like somebody who shows up on Sunday morning wrestling and loses. Yeah. Jabroni. Yeah. I could see that.
Nice. All right. That's anything else?
We probably have more. I mean, wrestling is such a huge topic, especially it's very fertile right now for me, having gotten back into it. But
you're deep in again.
I don't know. I can just say CM Punk.
That's all you're going to say?
CM Punk. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. CM Punk. He knows Rancid.
He knows Rancid. Him and Lars. Good Lars. Friends. All right. Addendum.
Ka-chunk.
In my defense, these prison walls, they couldn't hold anything in it all. I see your face in iron walls, and I keep crawling on back to you.
I'm gonna start calling you that. The next one, Saturday Night Live. I have a note in here from something I forgot to bring up. When I was younger, when I was a kid, and we used to play with the camcorder that we had, I at one point came up with a concept and filmed part of a show called what I called Thursday Day Taped. Can you see the parallels?
I see it, yeah.
So it was my version of Saturday Night Live. And right. I drew the title card on a piece of paper and held it up to the camera. And then I did some skits, I think.
That's just amazing.
Me, just me alone.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Thursday Day
Taped.
I forgot about that.
I still love it. Yeah. You're like, that's a saxophone. Me, right? Yeah.
I wanted to mention that Howard Shore was the original band leader on Saturday Night Live.
I didn't know that.
And he went on to score, you know, like The Fly.
Yeah, yeah.
Most notably these days, probably he's known for Lord of the Rings.
That's an impressive arc for his career.
Yeah, yeah. And then also musically, I wanted to point out G.E. Smith.
I can't believe we didn't talk about G.E. Smith and the Saturday Night Live band. Who was it? G.E. Smith and the Saturday Night Live band.
When I was younger, I always felt like he was phony. And that was mainly because of the faces he'd be pulling.
Oh, he makes some amazing guitar faces.
Really. And at the time, I think I just didn't, you know, understand that was just sort of a natural occurrence with a lot of guitarists.
It's like your tendons. It's like they just like your nerves reach up and grab your face muscles. And
I mean, it was pretty impressive.
He did. He introduced guitar face to a lot of people.
He did. And he was, I wonder how long his run was, because I feel like it was ages, but it probably wasn't that long.
He's not on there anymore?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty certain he isn't.
You know, now that you mention that, I don't think I have seen him.
G.E. Smith. And the Saturday Night Live band.
Yeah.
All right.
So great. All right. That good?
Yeah.
Good? Addendum.
Ka-chunk.
Ka-chunk. We did not get any feedback on BMX Bandits.
None.
Amazing. None. I think it's because nobody's watched it and nobody is willing to watch it. Well, Eric had seen it, I think.
Okay.
Our friend Eric Salitza had seen it.
Who used to be a super fan.
Yes.
Doesn't seem to be anymore.
No, hasn't listened in a while. But I think maybe he just hasn't gotten to this run of episodes. All right, all right. He likes to binge listen.
He does, yeah.
So we'll look forward to a future addendum.
Please do
from him.
See BMX Bandits if you haven't.
I know, you guys.
I know, you guys.
Water slides. They take their bikes
and
they go down water slides.
It's got all the components of a great movie.
It's phenomenal. Quentin Tarantino is right when he says that if that movie had been released in the United States, that would have been Goonies.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
All right. Addendumed.
Ka-chunk.
Ka-chunk.
Comics.
Man, this is a huge topic. We only have one note here. I'll let you take that.
Yeah, but there, I think... I bet we do another comic.
We're probably going to come back. We're going
to
do a
talk about Image Comics.
Comics 2.0.
Yeah, we need to like go beyond the big two, right?
I can't believe I just said 2.0.
Don't beat yourself up over that.
All right.
And as Ashley mentioned earlier, I myself am a comic creator.
Mm-hmm.
But let's save that for Comics 2.0.
All right.
But I did have one note. After we did that episode, I went through all my old comics just to see what I had in there.
Sure.
And I was kind of embarrassed by my collection. Mainly because I had, I stuck to the series Gen 13 for quite a long time.
J. Scott Campbell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot longer than I thought I had.
Did you move on from that to then Danger Girl? Because that was his next one.
I picked up at least the first issue of Danger Girl, maybe the first two.
The embarrassing thing is that his books were all boobs. Like, there was no avoiding the boobs.
Yeah.
But to your defense, there was a frenetic nature to the stories that I think was not really, you weren't seeing that in a lot of other books.
There was a youthfulness to the stories. And
so I don't feel like you should be too ashamed about that.
I feel like he may have based the so there's a male character in Danger Girl. I can't remember who he is, but I feel like he based him off of Bruce Campbell.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe I'm making that up. Maybe I thought he looked like Bruce Campbell.
All right.
But yeah, so I read it for a lot longer than I remembered reading it. But I also, you know, I'm not embarrassed of these titles, but Superboy I read for a long time.
Oh, sure,
time.
Yeah.
And I had...
That was the spin-out when Superman died.
Superman, yeah.
Yeah, and then he came back as four separate super characters, one of which was Superboy.
And they kept that comic going for a while after.
Yeah.
And then X-Men 2099. I was a huge
fan.
Oh,
that whole 2099 thing.
Did I mention this in the show?
I don't think so.
This is the first and only comic that I wrote a letter into, and it got published.
No, you didn't mention
that. Yeah, X-Men 2099. I wrote a letter, and one of my favorite characters in the show, in the comic, was called Metalhead.
Okay.
And he was a mutant whose ability was that his skin turned into whatever metal he touched.
Huh.
So sort of like Colossus. But
okay.
A little more variety.
A little more T-1000?
Yeah.
Kinda.
And at one point, he got like seemingly killed. But there was a suspicion that he had lived. And I wrote in and I said, I love the comic, blah, blah, blah. Is Metalhead ever coming back? He's my favorite. And they replied, I think you might be seeing Metalhead soon.
Oh.
And I think within the next two issues, he came back.
Very typical Marvel bullpen
sort of
teaser.
Used my letter as a teaser.
Yeah. What, do you remember what issue it was published in?
No, I should try to find it again.
Yeah.
But I must own it because I have like the whole run nearly of that series. What? Why are you laughing?
The whole run of 2099.
I think I do.
There were a bunch of those. There was Spider-Man 2099. Was there like an Avengers 2099 too?
I don't think so. There was.
And these were, like they said
Ghost
at the time,
Rider.
They're like, this is
this
legit
is
continuity. Yeah. This is where these characters
are.
I
wonder if they're still with that.
I wonder.
If they still... So Ghost Rider 2099.
Oh, yeah.
There may be
what a weird
Punisher
choice.
2099.
Yeah, that sounds sort of right. I think there was only like four or five of them, but... Maybe Daredevil 2099? I don't know. Still blind.
Oh,
terrible. Terrible. God, I'm cutting that out.
Oh, you got to leave it in. All right. Addendumed?
Addendumed.
Ka-chunk.
Ka-chunk.
Space travel.
Yeah.
Man, what an awesome episode. Now, you have news since that episode, right? Because...
Oh, yeah. We talked about...
that episode, I mentioned that I was a member of the Planetary Society.
Which I'd never heard of.
And I was like, dude, get on this.
And I did. I got on it.
And you are now a member.
I am now a member, card-carrying member. I have my own card.
Post your card in the show notes.
Okay.
Because that's what I did, right?
It's true. It's fair.
And,
yes.
And we are now both, we are co-members.
Yeah. Did you get the email this week?
Yes, I did.
About the telescope?
I did.
Yeah.
Borrow the telescope.
Yeah. anyway.
What do we have? Oh, I wanted to note that not long after that episode, or maybe actually before it, my Uncle Ed actually, I was over at his house for a barbecue, or maybe it wasn't, maybe it was just a dinner, but I was trying to connect
get to that.
Because it's going to connect to space travel, but I felt it should connect to something else. And I noticed he had a model of the command module, like a model he had put together.
This is the lunar command module?
Yes.
Okay.
And I said to him, I was like, man, that's really cool. And it's like the module and the housing around it, you know, that's, I think actually, holding, no, I don't think it, no, it's not holding the limb. It's the command module.
Okay.
Not,
this is the thing
that's lunar module. The command
it's
module.
The thing that's floating around the moon waiting for
and
the
one thing that it re-enters Earth's atmosphere later.
Right.
So I had mentioned
it's basically a three-seater Gemini capsule.
Yes.
Okay.
And I said to him, I was like, that's a really cool model. And he's like, and I think I even said something like, you know, if you ever want to get rid of it, I'll take it. And he said, you can have it.
What?
And he gave it to me. And now it's in my house.
Nice.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Well done.
What do we got
We got another note. So we talked about sort of international space programs, and we mentioned China, and Deanna's dad, my father-in-law, actually looked up the terminology that's appropriate for Chinese astronauts. They're called taikonauts. There's actually
that's
like
excellent.
Another, like probably a more literal translation.
Sure.
But the I guess the English. Accepted
the
English
the
terminology.
Transliteration.
Oh, that's a great word.
It's a real one.
Is it?
Yeah. It's. I learned it through a poetry class, I think, in college, that to a transliteration is the sort of the, it's a translation, but you're sort of picking the words in the other language that make the most sense to evoke the same meaning.
Huh.
So rather than saying, you know, like bonjour in French, which literally translated would mean good day.
Good day, right.
It's hello.
Okay.
Because the meaning is the same.
Right.
The
transliteration.
Spirit of the word. I think I'm getting this right. That's transliteration.
I'm going to go with it. Kim, is that right?
All right.
Okay.
I think good. We got it.
Nice. Yeah, so taikonauts is the transliteration of the Chinese astronaut term.
I like that a lot. We should mention, I can't believe we didn't in the episode.
Yeah.
Probably the greatest astronaut now since what?
Of the modern era?
And not even joking, like probably the most well-known and has done an incredible amount just for publicity and mm-hmm. awareness of space in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
These days is Commander Chris Hadfield.
I think the only challenger to his title, and I mean, he's not really a challenger because he never went up into space, but that mission control guy with the mohawk, he got pretty famous for a little while.
Yeah,
but Chris Hadfield is definitely
of the Canadian Space Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Which, what a badass name!
The Canadian Space Agency.
Well done.
Damn.
Canada.
Yeah.
They kicked NASA's
ass. Tattoo that shit on my arm right now. That's
like,
great.
National Aeronautics Space whatever,
Administration.
Whatever. How about the Canadian Space?
Canadian Space Administration.
Agency. You screwed it up. This is why you'll never make it in. I tweeted to them and they tweeted back.
Nice.
I said, what did I say? I think I said, man, they're awesome. And they're
yeah.
like, thank you.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? It's like I'm in space.
What? Did you?
But
anti-gravity
anyway.
Tweet. Chris Hadfield, who just returned to Earth
safely to Earth.
While he was up there, he was making videos.
Yeah,
he was communicating directly with like school kids and stuff.
Yeah, he was just like he literally was an ambassador for space.
Yeah,
I mean, he was doing and the videos he was doing. You know, I'd watched a few videos before Hadfield got up there. You know, because and to be fair, it's not just Chris Hadfield that was behind this. I mean, the CSA, Canadian Space Agency, and all the astronauts and cosmonauts on the space station. You know, I think they're all kind of doing their part,
right?
But he really had charisma in a way that I think a lot of the others didn't. You know, and he really seemed to be able to connect with the people watching.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do all, it was almost like, it reminded me somewhat of like Mythbusters in that, you know, people would, I think, submit questions or, you know, be like, what happens when you do this in space or that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he would do these little experiments and talk about the way it affected your body. And it was just, it was fascinating. And it was the perfect, like, you know, little clips, like 3 minute long things.
He didn't belabor it.
Yeah. Exactly. And
he didn't over-science it or try to make you feel dumb for asking it.
It's great. And I was truly sort of sad that, I mean, of course, it's great that he came back to Earth, right?
I'm sure he's probably, there's a few things he's missed.
But
it's
sad to have to now that, or to know that he isn't, you know, able to do that anymore, at least not in space.
But maybe, I think like the flip side of that is like now he can continue that mission on Earth. You know, he can travel directly to these places and try to promote the program.
And I think it's rubbed off sort of on like, because I mean, not long after that, I saw they just sent up the new crew, like a couple new people.
Yeah, the Soyuz capsule
went
up
the
there.
The Soyuz launched from Kazakhstan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And brought up, I think, two new members of the ISS team, as it were. And one of the NASA astronauts up there did a little video that I watched of, he was like, I'm shaving my head to resemble one of the guys coming up here as sort of a welcome. And he showed, you know, what happens when how you do a haircut in space. You know, and I was like really glad that, you know, NASA maybe is starting to be like, oh,
picking up
on
that. Yeah.
We should maybe we've got people in space. Maybe we should do stuff.
Maybe we should do something with them.
Yeah, yeah. So. Oh, and one last thing on Chris Hadfield. He posted this incredible video, like right before left.
Yeah, his legacy.
Him performing. What's the song?
Space
Oddity.
David Bowie's. Yeah.
In the space station.
Ground Control to Major Tom.
The first music video in space.
Yeah, and it's great. Yeah, not only did he cover David Bowie. Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a tall order.
Let's
just appreciate it, Kim. Exactly, I think she totally sees where we're coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is an impressive feat in and of itself, and then to do it and actually have it be good and entertaining.
It's beautifully shot.
Yeah,
and
he did it all by himself.
So good.
Yeah.
So great. I hope he is really sort of the beginning of something, you know, the beginning of that kind of interaction.
Rekindling. Yeah. Agreed.
So my mom left a note on the website.
This is great. This is awesome.
She says, great podcast. Thank you, mother. My first quote unquote space memory is as a small child standing out in a field with my family, staring up into the starry sky staring up into the starry night to watch Sputnik arch across the sky. Since then, I've learned that we were probably watching the rocket booster, which was much brighter and also in orbit, but that doesn't diminish the wonder. I'm so jealous of your name being on Mars. Now, here's an update to that comment. My mother's name will soon be on Mars.
Oh, fantastic.
She signed up for a similar sort of program where your name can get sent up to Mars. God
damn, that's great.
Yeah, mine's already out there.
Right, right. You're warming up a spot for her.
Yeah.
Sorry, this seat's saved.
Yeah, yeah. My mom's going to be here soon. Is that what we have for space?
That is it. I do want to point out, though, that your mom's memory totally reminds me of the opening scene from Space Camp.
Nice.
When Kate Capshaw's character, as a child, walks out into a field, and she looks up at the stars, and she sees, like, a shooting star.
Yeah.
And it was John Glenn she was saying. She's like, oh, he winked at me.
My mom.
John Glenn winked at me.
My mom just stole that from Space
Camp. All right. Ka-chunk that one.
Addendum. Ka-chunk.
This is Ground Control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirts you wear. But it's time to guide the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom.
Here we go. Big biggie.
Stephen
Big
King.
Biggie. Controversial topic.
Oh, yeah. Why not, too, right?
So.
Go ahead. All right.
Well, superfan Diana chimed in. She says that the first and only Stephen King novel she ever read was The Shining. Read it as a very sheltered 12-year-old. She was curious about it because her mom had always told her how creepy the movie was. She later saw the movie, and she can attest that the book and the movie are entirely different beasts, mm-hmm. as we discussed. Mm-hmm. She's read several of his short stories, and the only one that creeped her out, or the one that creeped her out the most, was The Road Virus Heads North, which I think was also tangentially related to The Stand. I think The Road Virus was another name for Captain Trips, which was the virus from The Stand. I could be wrong about that. We can re-addendum that. But she said, in her mind, the road virus is played by Jake Busey, which is awesome because I can totally see Jake Busey playing Randall Flagg, who's the antagonist in The Stand. One movie adaptation that is in her list of favorites for many reasons, including Morgan Freeman's ridiculously bushy white eyebrows, is Dreamcatcher. The story is a little nutty. It's one part It, with a band of friends, and another part Outbreak, which was also a Morgan Freeman movie, as I recall. Mm-hmm. Another part Alien Invasion, and it all works, she says. Damian Lewis, Jason Lee, and Timothy Oliphant are in it. And there's a really intense scene involving a toilet and toothpicks that had her screaming at the TV. Now, I've read Dreamcatcher and I've seen the movie, and I know exactly what scene she's talking about, and I'm not going to say anything about it because it is, I would argue, it's probably the highlight of that movie. Maybe the highlight of the book, too. I thought it was one of his lesser books. But the movie is in a, it occupies a very weird place because it is not trying to be serious, but I think everybody expected it to try to be serious.
Really?
I think people went into it expecting that it was like a legit, it was on the up and up.
Yeah.
And I think both in the book and in the movie, you're sort of like supposed to take this as kind of a somewhat, not campy, but you know, a nudge, nudge, wink, wink kind of take on this story. But it's an alien invasion, not invasion really, but it's an alien story. Your mom also had comments on Stephen King.
Yeah, she said she wasn't going to comment, but then I issued a challenge to her. I had made all of my points. Sorry, I'm going to start over. I'm trying to paraphrase this comment without just reading it. Anyway, she listened to the episode. She had comments. She wasn't going to say anything, and she didn't want to rehash them. But she says, I think what is most disappointing about Stephen King is that his early work showed such promise. Had he cared more for the writing rather than the notoriety, he might have produced some really good works. Pet Sematary was the last thing she read by King, and after that she swore she would not contribute another dime to his income. If anyone else had submitted that manuscript to a publisher, it would not have been accepted. She understands that many people are huge fans, and she says, I just avoid the topic, just like I avoid talking religion and politics. My views rarely coincide with the mainstream on these topics.
That is amazing. I love that. You don't talk about politics, you don't talk about religion, and you don't talk about Stephen King. Fantastic. It is interesting, though. I think she makes a valid point that I don't think that any publisher would have just accepted a random manuscript if it had resembled Pet Sematary.
Right.
But part of the reason why I think I like Pet Sematary so much is because it is not... It's not a complete novel in the sense that we expect of what we expect from a novel. I don't think it satisfies that.
Okay.
But I kind of like it for that reason. But that aside, I totally respect where she's coming from. I will also add too that I think if she ever were to read some of his later day stuff, I don't know that she would like it, but I think she would agree that he is a different writer than he was during that era.
Well, there's another challenge.
Yeah.
Try give him one more try, something more.
And I don't know what no, I don't, because most of I don't know that
give
I can
us
necessarily
a year range, though. At least give us a time range, so if she is gonna do this, she you give her at least the best kind.
What
of,
should she
like what year to what year?
Yeah, I'm gonna say like late 90s to early 2000s.
All right, so there you go.
There are a few gems in there. I mentioned that I really liked Hearts in Atlantis. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good book. It's different. It's unusual. Again, it's not a novel. It's a collection. But
well, that's the challenge is.
There you go. If you are gonna revisit Stephen King, I think that's an interesting one to do.
There you go.
Not a horror book, but good. And Deanna also had a comment. She had, I don't know if this was right after we did this episode or right before, but she read about this disorder called hypergraphia.
Ooh.
And it's basically it's like a compulsion to write. Like you just have to keep spitting out words. And it sort of accounts for why someone may just continue to be verbose in their writing, which is
write.
A complaint that he has endured over time. Stephen King, there's a couple. He just released a new book. I'm really interested to read it. He's done one in this series before. There's a book series of books called Hard Case Crime, and they are old-fashioned pulp crime novels. He did one called The Colorado Kid, which I did not like. I didn't think it was a very good book. But he just released this new one called Joyland. Takes place in an amusement park.
Oh.
So I'm keen.
There you go.
I'm very keen on it. But he's releasing a sequel to The Shining.
What?
Later this year. Yeah. It like a loose sequel. Like, it doesn't take place at the hotel, but it involves some of the same characters.
Imagine.
You take that back. You just take that back and ka-chunk this thing.
Ka-chunk.
All right.
Part-time jobs, part one. Not necessarily an addendum on the subject at hand, but Ashley, I called Ashley out in this episode for referring to children as babies. All children.
All children.
Are babies. She says kids are babies until they're four, not seven, which I guess I said.
Yeah.
At least get the facts straight if you're going to call me out on the air.
Fair enough.
I'm not the one calling teenagers babies.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
We might be hearing more in a future addendum.
Do you have anything else to add?
No,
to
actually.
Either of the part-time jobs?
No. No, I feel like we talked about them. I really enjoyed those episodes. I know they probably weren't relevant to a lot of people, but I enjoyed them.
I hope that maybe it kindled kind of thoughts that other people had about it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody's had a similar experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, you take your Suncoast experience and my Fritz's experience, you know, and those are both kind of like coming of age moments, I think, in our lives where we sort of grew beyond what situations we were in at the time.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of people have that happen.
Yeah.
With jobs.
So if you haven't listened to those and you're in need of something that to coincide with that moment in your life, give those episodes a listen.
Ka-chunk! Ka-chunk! Coffee.
Lots yeah.
Of, lots,
lots of notes here. On this. Well, it's a There's like the absolute reverse of the part-time jobs. I mean, we're talking about, so these circumstances are specific to us. Yeah. We get into coffee and like, oh, suddenly everybody's going to comment on coffee.
I forgot to mention in the episode that before you and I started getting coffee regularly, I had a different coffee friend. And it was, in fact, superfan Diana.
What?
She and I would get coffee nearly weekly.
Wow.
And
you can't have him back, Diana.
We went to Caldi's in Kirkwood.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And similarly, yeah. We'd get a bagel, and we'd have coffee and just chat.
Nice. How often? This was weekly? Almost weekly?
Pretty much almost weekly. And because I would visit my parents on the weekend, and they live kind of close-ish, you know, so they're in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so before I would go over there, we would grab coffee and then head over to my parents and finish out my day. Ashley had a note. She says she didn't hear the podcast when it came out because she started a new job. But she wanted to note that I was correct, and John, you are doing coffee all wrong. She says, to further elaborate on blooming the coffee, you stir the coffee grounds into the hot water for a smoother, more even extraction of the coffee essence in the short amount of time that you allow the coffee to brew.
Okay.
Also, she's heard it's a good way to determine the freshness of your coffee. In her experience, old dry beans or pre-ground coffee doesn't bloom as well as fresh beans that are freshly ground.
Makes sense.
She thinks a French press really allows you to love the coffee you're drinking as you're taking some care to brew it. I will also add, before Dee's note here, Ashley and I also had some further developments that stirring isn't necessary in all cases, depending on the type of grind. Allegedly the best scenario is to use a burr grinder, which does a coarse grind.
Okay.
And when you have a coarse grind, you do not need to stir it. It will bloom on its own when you pour the hot water in. But they do, however, suggest that for better coffee all around, and this is when you're doing a French press,
right,
that before you press, you should pull the grounds out of the coffee.
Okay.
And it kind of just results in a smoother drink.
Okay.
But Dee has a note here.
Yeah. She and I both, when we were commuting together, we used to listen to the Stuff You Should Know podcast.
You Should Know, which I used to listen to.
It's a great, great show. One of the top five, if not top three podcasts I've ever listened to is Stuff You Should Know. And they did a coffee podcast, and she had just listened to it right around the same time that we did ours. And she says it offers a good counterpoint.
To what?
To ours. Probably in as much as it's more informed and accurate than ours.
I don't
ours,
know about that,
but
because I have my opinions about those guys, but go on.
Oh, oh. Are we going to start a podcast war?
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. We'll link to it in the show notes in case you want to listen to
what's
that.
What do they say?
Well, no, just I think that was all she
oh, so no,
had. Just
no
nothing
actual.
Specific, just, okay. You know, if you want further listening.
Oh, counterpart.
Listening. Yeah.
An interesting counter. I thought it's like counterpoint.
No. Well, sorry. I think it could be both. It could
won't.
Be both.
They're, if it is, they're wrong.
It's there if you want to listen to it.
It's endemmed.
Ka-chonk.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
So you heard the addendums earlier.
Yeah, lots
some
of disputes.
Our special guest hosts. And you know, some claims were made at the beginning of the show that I won't comment on. But we didn't talk about competitions, barbecue competitions.
No, we did not.
Which I there must be some happening nearby, and I would love to go to one
at all times.
When I thought about it, I was like, God. Why have I never been to one?
It's like a chili cook-off, but
yeah,
with barbecue.
Yeah. And again, so I'd like to point out that I'm right. A barbecue is to the literal definition is to smoke meat.
Okay.
And I don't know why that was argued with, because it's true. Now, the more general definition that people misuse is to call the outing, the gathering, what have you, a barbecue. But
okay.
It is a cooking method.
All right.
You wouldn't say we're all going to a boil
a grilling
tonight, right?
right,
but
there is no, that's not a boil. Lobster boil.
Yeah, but that's
clam
lobster
bake.
Boil. Clam bake. You wouldn't say come on over to my boil and then serve pie, would you?
Actually, I kind of want to be like, come on over to my boil. That's great.
But yeah, barbecue competitions where people sort of like they have their secret rubs, you know, dry rubs, and there are methods, and
right.
Usually it's not
proprietary.
It's not just the meat. You also have to like make beans of some kind, or you have to do. I think pie might be part of it too.
So weird.
I think it'd be. It's sort of like I imagine sort of like a state fair atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that.
If there are rides, I'll go to that. If not, I'm probably going to pass.
There might be like a...
Actually, you know what? I would rather go to the competition
than
go to
barbecue.
An actual barbecue.
Yeah, yeah,
like a gathering. Yeah.
super fan Diana. We put a call out for any and all extra Missouri inhabitants to let us know what kind of lawn games or... yard games were played elsewhere, right?
Yes.
So Diana says that people in D.C. play bags, quote unquote, also known as cornhole, which I believe I referenced, which is basically washers but played with handheld 5-inch bean bags. If you're really special, this is the part I like. If you're really special, you make your own boxes and paint them with the colors and logo of your alma mater. That said, I think we still have horseshoes set up in parks. Never seen anyone playing them, though. This is a common tailgating game around here, too.
Interesting.
Washer's neighbor... Washer's neighbor...
Washer's neighbor made it out.
Washer's... be careful, preach the sin.
Washer's never made it out here, as far as I know. I think it's important to note that at a family barbecue with little kids running amok, flying beanbags are likely to cause fewer injuries than flying horseshoes or washers.
Or lawn darts.
Yeah.
Jarts.
and then she also notes that Sweet Baby Ray's is her sauce of choice.
Yeah.
I wonder if she means, like, with everything.
Like
is that...
puts it on sushi,
instead of
puts
ketchup,
it on
instead of mayonnaise.
Burgers,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know.
Anything to add to barbecues?
No.
Ka-chunk. So last But not least, the most recent episode, blogging, which, you know, generally we don't have a lot to say when on the last
recent, fairly immediate. It was just released mere hours ago, seemingly.
But we do have one note, and I think it's a good note.
Yeah.
A good one.
I was excited to see it.
Right. The owner and operator of the blog, itsherb.tumblr.com, has made the claim that Herb will be back.
Herb will return.
Herb will return.
Like the end credits.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Tony Stark will return in Iron Man or Avengers 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Herb will return in It's Herb.
Yes.
Yeah.
So look forward to that.
Yeah.
We'll do a whole episode on Herb.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that'll be the topic. So get going on that.
All right. Ka-chunk that one.
Ka-chunk.
Are we ready to put this one back in the river?
Yeah, we got to put them all back in the river.
Yeah, all of them. Back.
We didn't put it. Usually we do these as we go, but now we've pulled out 15 of these enormous crates. And we have to shove them all back in the river. And it would have been nice if our guests stuck around to help.
Yeah, because there's a lot of these things and they're heavy.
They pulled them out in the first place. All right, help me put these back into the archive river.
All right.
Ka-chunk. I still think you need a new sound.